Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Sherline.
Hello, and welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. This is episode 8. I'm your host, Mike Sherline. Today is Friday, September 28th, and we are going to be going over some of the stuff that's happened over the last 2 weeks. Unfortunately, like I told you in episode 7, there's been a bunch of stuff that's happened over the last couple of days that have prevented me from getting on and updating as much as I'd like to have updated. But moving forward, hopefully once the season starts, we'll get on a regular recording schedule once, twice a week, and bring you up-to-date information and opinion and hot takes and all that other good stuff. So we'll see how it happens. So last night, the Islanders defeated the Rangers in overtime. We had a couple of goals from Pollock. We had a goal from Hickey. And we had the overtime winner from Bolivier. Overall, I thought it was a pretty decent game. A couple of things positionally where I think they can still work on. And the Kunockel, Komarov, Filppula line looked okay. We got into a little bit of a debate about that on Twitter this afternoon, if you didn't see it. I had quoted something from Arthur Staple that said, you know, their Corsi-Fenwick was terrible, basically, and you know, they lost pretty much every single one of the faceoffs that they're on the ice for. But you know, as some of the Twitter followers pointed out, it wasn't all bad. They definitely contributed to the first Pollock goal, or Pulak. So many difficult names on the Islanders lately. And caused havoc all over the ice. So I agree in that sense that they're looking good in that respect, and they gave the Rangers fits. But we also had some roster cuts this week to trim the roster down. Bellows and Hosang went down to Bridgeport. Taves is still up with the club. Obviously, they wound up signing Lucas Spezza to a one-year, $1.5 million deal. Watching Spezza play the last couple of games of preseason and last night against the Rangers, still not 100% sold on him. I still like that he's a veteran and he's only 26 and he provides depth. I will give it that. As I've said numerous times here ad nauseum, the Islanders have severely lacked defensive depth as the season progresses. And, you know, we have new management, we have new coaching, and they clearly want some depth there. So we'll see what happens, I guess, in that respect as well. But I think overall, the Islanders are showing some good structure and definitely more sound defensive play in that regard. So I like what I'm seeing. Hopefully it continues. They do have a pretty decent record here in preseason, but again, it's only preseason. Later on in this episode, we're going to take your Twitter questions, as always. We are also going to speak to Brett Kahn of Isles Meetup Philly. You'll hear from him shortly. He tells us about the meetup group down there and the similarities of some of the other groups, and all these groups are intertwined. They're all friends. They've all known each other. It's just such a cool thing, and the Philly group is going to be blessed with my presence at some point in the near future. So, DC, I'm looking at you also. I'm coming down there next. So, let's get right into it with Brett, shall we? All right, so joining me on this episode of the Isles Faithful Podcast is Brett Kahn of Isles Meetup Philly. Brett, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing? Appreciate you having me on.
No problem, man. I'm doing well. Thank you. Was catching a little bit of preseason hockey here before you jumped on. I know you just told me you did the same.
Yeah, a little bit. I was, scouting the roster as much as I could. And the stream is good, so that was helpful.
You know, that's something I noticed myself. My wife actually said, is this on TV? I said, no, I'm streaming from my phone, actually. And she was like, wow. And another striking thing was, it's Kovash, not Kovar.
Yeah, I read something about that the other day. I think it was Art Staple that, like, was mentioning how to phonetically say it. Or it might have been Andrew Gross. But, yeah, I found that interesting as well. I had no idea.
I must have missed that the other day because I said, huh? Who's that?
Yeah. In addition to trying to keep up with the new numbers, there's a lot going on out there.
Yeah, it's interesting, but that's Lou Lamoriello for you. Yeah,
it is.
All right, so we'll get right into it. Tell me a little bit about Isles Meetup Philly, but we'll backtrack already, and let me know how you hooked up with Mike from Isles Meetup Charlotte and how you got involved with this awesomeness that's been going on.
Sure. So I've actually known Mike since we were infants. We lived next door to each other or across this path in this condominium development in Deer Park. And I was three when we moved there, and Mikey and I met and became really good friends. And all the way up until I moved out of Deer Park when I was nine and have been in the Philly area sort of ever since. We lost touch for a little while, but then the powers of social media sort of reconnected us, and we've been inseparable. You know, he's introduced me to some of his best friends, and, you know, we've all been in each other's weddings and experienced life together. So I consider Mikey one of my best friends for sure.
Awesome, man. Yeah. My good friends both moved to, you know, other states. One lives in Connecticut and, the other one moved to PA, actually up in the mountains there. And why is it escaping me right now?
The Poconos.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. He actually commutes to New York City every day. He's a union electrician, so he's nuts.
that's crazy. We sort of reconnected over the love of Islanders hockey, and long story short, when Mikey moved to Charlotte, I know. You know, him and his wife just sort of picked up and moved and didn't know anybody. And I think it was a very big point of contention for him to try to find a social group. And I don't think if you asked him, he expected it to be anything like it is today. But, through hard work and persistence and the fact that he's a very charismatic, nice, genuine guy, I'm not surprised the amount of people that have gravitated toward his group. My wife and I were actually able to go down and experience a meetup group last year in Charlotte and watch the trouncing of the Rangers. I think it was one of the games where Barzal had 5 points. I think it was 7-1 or something like that. And it was really fun. I got to meet some of those people, and it was really infectious. But I wasn't really entirely sure that I would have the same success he would here or he did in Charlotte here. Specifically because I thought it was too close to New York, and I thought that there's no way that there's that many displaced Islanders fans here, versus somewhere down south where the weather might be nicer and people, you know, wanted to maybe escape the cold. But so far the response has been really amazing, and due to Mike's persistence, I finally, gave up and said, all right, we'll give this a shot and see what happens. And we're getting ready for our first meetup on the fourth for the opener against the Hurricanes.
All right. So Mike tipped me off to a little bit of information that I would have never known prior about your father. So why don't you go into what your dad did and who your dad is a little bit?
Sure. I have a very unique way of becoming an Islanders fan. And I was very lucky growing up and fortunate. My father was the Islanders PA announcer from 83 through the 95 season when we moved to Philly. He just couldn't, the commute, he just couldn't do it anymore. He got a full-time gig here. That was always part-time. He also did the Jets for a while as well through 2001. That was a little bit easier of a commute for him once we moved here. But he also worked for Sports Channel at the time in their sales and marketing department. And, Islanders hockey was always on Sports Channel. So there was no way I was not growing up an Islanders fan. So I was lucky enough to go to a lot of games when I was a kid and, hear my dad do his thing. And it was really cool. And you know, my dad was one, I think, season ticket holder number 8 from 1972, and had seats second row behind the original, what do they call those? The booths behind the goalie nets.
Yeah, the gold judge box.
The gold judge box, yeah, which they ended up obviously getting rid of. And, you know, there, like I said, there was no way I wasn't going to become a fan, but I was fortunate, and Mikey gravitated towards that. He was so, you know, kind of awestruck by the fact that my dad did this, and, you know, that's how we became really good friends.
Yeah, he told me a couple of stories, and he's been actually reaching out to me and telling me that, you know, we need to get your dad on and have him tell some of the stories, because I think that would be pretty cool. And, you know, believe it or not, over in July, I did some stuff with Roger Luce of WBAB, who is also one of the part-time arena announcers. So maybe we could work something out where we could have both of them come on at the same time and kind of tell dueling stories, because I think that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, my dad's I'm sure he's got a ton of stories. There's one famous one which Mikey now has as a portrait framed on his desk in his school classroom, which my dad gave him for his, I think it was a wedding gift. Mikey really wanted it. And, you know, my dad had a copy of Bruce Bennett taking a picture of himself after he was hit by a puck during a game. And they had to stop the game because my dad was gushing blood. And it was before they had the boards, which protected the puck from going into the crowd. And, you know, the puck got deflected, hit my dad right in the head, and my dad had to get multiple stitches. But there's a great picture of that, and Mikey wanted it, and my dad obliged and got him a copy, and now it's framed in his classroom in Charlotte.
The most important question for that, and I seem to remember that happening, actually, from watching, you know, growing up on Sports Channel, but did he come back to finish the game?
That's a really, really good question. My instinct says no, but I could be wrong. I mean, he had to get a bunch of stitches, and by a bunch, I mean like, I believe it was somewhere around 15 stitches. I don't think so, and I think my mom had to come pick him up from the arena because he couldn't drive. But again, it's been a while since we've told this story. I'm sure he would do a better job of telling it. And he, you know, the facts might be different than I'm telling you right now. So, but yeah, it was a crazy night. And, you know, we revisit that story every now and again. And every time I go to their house, you know, I see the picture on the wall of Trottier and LaFontaine, along with the refs walking him off the ice.
You're going to have to show me that picture, because that definitely sounds like, you know, something you just need to see. And Bruce takes amazing pictures and has over the course of his career. So I'm sure it's another one of those period type pictures of the old barn. And just, it's probably just awesome, especially for you, because it's got such a good meaning behind it.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so unique. Like, no one else has that. And it's a really close up picture. And it shows all the emotions going on of like my dad writhing in pain from being hit with a puck, and you can sort of see the blood spatter on the ice. And but I think what's really cool about it is like Trottier and Pat LaFontaine actually show genuine concern for my father, which you can sort of see in the picture, which I thought was really cool. You know, there's a lot going on, and it's deep in a whole bunch of, for a bunch of different reasons. So I'll send it to you as soon as we get off.
All right, cool. Yeah. I'll probably link it in the description and everything for everyone else to see too. So now, you know, as I've asked some of the other guys as they've come on, do you have a base of operations locally? You know, have the Flyers, you know, been working with you for group tickets and whatnot for when the Islanders come to town?
So we have an initial bar for the first meetup, which will be on the 4th against the Hurricanes at Thursday night. We're going to be at a bar in Center City called the Field House. It's a very popular sports bar here, with multiple rooms, and they have been nothing but accommodating. I had a friend who knew somebody over there, and she made the introduction, and they've been amazing, and they're giving us part of their game room, with a TV, with sound guaranteed, and no, you know, financial commitment or financial minimum. They're just like, bring as many people as you want, enjoy. Which I thought was really cool because the Flyers opened the same night. So I know there's going to be a ton of Flyers fans there. I was nervous about being around that many Flyers fans, but everybody seems to be totally on board with what we're doing. And if all goes well, I think we'll continue to watch games there. It seems to be a decent location for us. As far as tickets to the game, the first time the Islanders come in is October 27th, which unfortunately for me is a terrible date. My wife and I are going to be in Disney until the day before, and then we're actually in a musical together. We do theater, and that's how we met, which opens the following Friday. So unfortunately, the timing and just getting that together won't probably work. I still hope a bunch of guys from the group show up to the game, and we'll the next time they come in, we'll have more time, and we'll organize, and we'll get a bunch of group tickets. So I definitely plan on reaching out to the group salespeople at the Flyers soon, or if you know anybody sees us on Twitter, feel free to reach out.
All right. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. My cousin actually called me on his way home from work earlier and said, oh, you know, is the Philly guy coming on today? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, this is one of those things that because it's close enough, you know, to make it a day trip or at least an overnight, you know, grab a hotel, just spend the night, come home the next day. It's one of those things where I think I can convince my wife to let me attend.
So oh, that sounds great.
So the first time, you know, I mean, obviously not the first game now because you said you're not going to be around, but somewhere later in the season, my cousin and I are definitely going to come down and we're going to explore the DC stuff too. Cause I've actually never been to either one of those arenas and they're so close, you know, and, you know, relative terms to New York, that it's definitely doable for a weekend trip. So
yeah, Wells Fargo is a great arena, and the Flyers fans draw really well, and it's usually very loud in there. So it's usually fun if you're a Flyers fan. Not always so much if you're a visiting fan. You know, it's not the Giants playing the Eagles, that's or the Cowboys playing the Eagles, but you know, especially an interdivision rivalry, there definitely will be a little bit of heightened rivalry for sure. I also would love to go down and check out the DC arena as well. I've been in there for a basketball game, but not for a hockey game.
All right. Well, we'll have to make sure we make that happen. Now, tell us a little bit about this logo that you posted today, or yesterday, was it, from Devin from Yes Men Outfitters. I know he's been working on some stuff for all the groups to try to keep the branding as close as possible. So I saw a nice big hero on there.
Yeah. First of all, Devin's been amazing, and shout out to Yes Men Outfitters because I think he puts out the best stuff out of anybody, you know, out of these sort of offshoot Islanders clothing brands and apparel that you can get. I think his stuff is unbelievable, and I would recommend him to anybody. And I bought his stuff, and it's awesome. And that was a free plug, Devin. I just appreciate all the work that you're doing, and he's been amazing. He reached out to all of us and Mikey and wanted to help, and you know, created a banner for our Twitter page that sort of highlights all the meetup groups. And then I noticed that a couple of the guys were creating their own logos and sort of, you know, taking a version of the Islanders logo and sort of added something city specific. So since I'm terrible with graphic design, Devin was gracious enough to put this together for us and send it to me. And I loved it right away. I thought it was perfect for Philly. And, you know, there's a big cheesesteak right in the middle. And it was perfect. It gave us an identity.
I joked with you, you know, in our little pre-chat, Wiz Wit or without?
I'm 100% Wiz Wit. I love cheese whiz and onions. That's my steak choice whenever. And I actually live very, very close to Pat's and Gino's, and I don't get there nearly enough, but also at the same time, for health reasons, probably get there just the right amount. So yeah, I'm always a Wiz Wit guy for sure.
Nice. I actually worked for a police department for a little while as a dispatcher, and they told me stories a couple of times that, you know, they had an order of cheesesteaks and
drove all the way to Philly to go get cheesesteaks and came back in the same night. So
it's worth it. It's definitely one of our top delicacies here for sure.
Well, every city has their own stuff, and you know, New York is known for a lot of different things, you know, because we're the melting pot of the world. So
yeah.
But all right, now, so tell me, what do you think about the Islanders' current situation with their roster, with Barry Trotz and some of the other exciting things, you know, minus 91 slithering away in the grass?
Yeah. I'm very in the middle on everything right now. I'm not optimistic, but I'm not terribly pessimistic either. The good news is I think the roster will be held accountable, which is something that we're not used to. And I think they'll work hard and they'll be disciplined. And they'll play really good defense, which obviously was the worst thing that we did all last year. Talent-wise, it's up in the air. We haven't added a ton of top talent. You know, we didn't – I know they're hoping that some of the defensive chips, like, you know, Devin Taves comes into his own and can sort of step in. And, you know, guys like Bellows and Hosang start playing well and kind of crack the top nine. We'll see. I think they're going to be really a blue-collar team, and they're going to be physical with Matt Martin coming back and that fourth line sort of reuniting. And I still think they'll be able to score. It's just a matter of if they can clean things up on the back end. I think they'll be really competitive. I'd obviously love them to get another top six forward, you know, not another fourth line forward, which they seem to add a whole bunch of this offseason. So, you know, and they're the good news is they're easily, you can easily root for this team. I mean, Lamoriello, Trotz, coming in with established careers, but you have a lot of likable guys like Matt Martin coming back and all the stuff that he does for the community. And once Robin Lehner's story sort of came out, like every Islander fan that I could see was super supportive. Like you always expect somebody to trash him or be a troll, but like everything I saw was positive about that guy. And I think, you know, a lot of fans are going to get on this team's back and really root for this team hard because no one's expecting them to do anything. So
I've said this on numerous occasions now, you know, you need a guy with a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, every single person on this roster, you know, probably feels spurned by Tavares and to some extent, because I'm sure that they're all friends with him off the ice and everything. But, you know, that was their captain. That was their friend. You know, in some cases, you know, like prior to Aposo leaving, you know, Tavares was the godfather of one of his children, you know, so like that's how it works off the ice. But, you know, everybody has something to prove, you know, and even Leo Komarov, he's a guy who is a character guy. He's gritty. He can kill penalties. So, you know, am I expecting him to be an offensive powerhouse? No, but I'm expecting him to be able to provide penalty killing and stuff, you know, because we lost Kuhlman. So that's another thing. Everyone complains about giving him 4 years, and you know what? Can you argue about the contract? 100%. You have all these other veterans that they brought in for one-year deals. So big deal. If it doesn't work out, you cut bait. See you later.
100%. They still have a ton of cap space to work with, and even more so next year. I know they have a lot of guys they need to get re-signed, like Anders and potentially Jordan Eberle if they feel like they want to re-sign him. But I agree. I think they're setting themselves up for the long term. But I don't think Lou's done yet. You know, even if we go into this season with this roster, I'm way more confident on the defensive end than we saw last year. And you know, we know the top two lines can score, even without Tavares. That's, you know, I still think you're going to see that. So, yeah, are there a lot of question marks? Yeah, maybe. But, you know, we've never had a better system in front office and coaching staff in place since, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. So that's a huge part of, I think, how surprising this team may be on the ice this year.
You even look towards tonight, against the Flyers, and Noah Dobson looks like he's a grizzled veteran back there, the way that he was skating around with the puck and not panicking. And granted, it's a preseason game. I understand how it works, but he's, I don't remember who he was paired with. Cause I think Van de Sopel was paired with Boychuk. So I didn't really see who he was paired with, but and I probably should, but he looks good. And then you have all the other kids that are coming up and you mentioned before. So there are bright spots coming where it's not all doom and gloom because 91 left. And they even said today on Sirius XM that the Islanders probably shouldn't be taken lightly because they feel that they're probably going to surprise some people, you know, not expecting them to be like they are because of Barry Trotz.
I agree. I think the one thing a lot of fans are looking forward to potentially is a big splash, like the Lou Lamoriello splash, to bring a guy in that maybe nobody saw or thought that would come here, and he brought them in. You know, we're not used to big free agents and big-time players coming here on a trade or on a free agent basis. So, you know, if they were able to land a guy like Panarin via trade or something like that, you know, I think that might ease some concerns. So we'll see. Again, you never know what the guy's going to do. He's always close to the vest with everything that he does. And but at the very least, they're going to be disciplined. They're going to be held accountable, and they're going to work hard. And that's something that we didn't have the last couple of years at all.
100%. I agree there. And the thing about Lamoriello is he takes his time often to sit, analyze, figure out what the needs are, the weaknesses, and then he goes after those needs 100%. He did that in Jersey. He did that in Toronto. And I don't have a doubt that he'll do the same thing here on the island. So that's definitely something to look forward to.
For sure. I think he's still in the evaluation period. I mean, this is new for everybody, and they're, you know, just now getting on the ice and playing real hockey. So, you know, it's fans need to just be a little bit more patient, myself included. I'm definitely not always the patient fan, and I, you know, I have my moments, but, you know, everything is new right now, and give them a little time to get adjusted, and everything will work out.
All right. So at least we're on the same page there, because I'm definitely not the most patient person in the world when it comes to the New York Islanders. But our history aside, that's what happens to us Islander fans. Now, tell me, where can we find you on Twitter? Do you guys have a Facebook page?
We're just doing Twitter for now. I think Kevin mentioned the same thing with Isles Meetup Tampa. We're Isles Meetup _PHL. And in case you can't find us, just go to one of the other meetup pages, and we all sort of link to each other at this point. So, you'll find us, and all the information about our October 4th meetup, will be there as well, pinned to the Twitter page. We're doing the Fieldhouse Bar in Center City, Philadelphia, right next to Reading Terminal. I forget exactly what time the game starts. I want to say 7. We'll be there well in anticipation of that. And, you know, my hope for this is that we just, you know, I'm looking to meet people as much as anybody else. You know, a lot of my friends have moved away, and a lot of people that I know live outside the city. So it'd be really cool to connect with some new people, especially Islanders fans, especially passionate Islanders fans. And I think that's the goal for all of us and all of our meetup groups, is to simply, you know, be around good people that want to watch the Islanders and have fun. No one, no matter where you are, if you're an Isles fan anywhere in the country, should have to watch a game alone. I think that's a big reason why Mikey's done what he's done, and that's a big reason why we've expanded this to a couple different cities at this point.
And that's the exact reason why I love this story, and I want to try to get everybody's word out as much as I possibly can and just knock this thing out of the park for you guys, because I think it's amazing, and I can't wait to take part. So look forward to hopefully meeting up at some point this season, and if you guys will have a t-shirt like the other groups, I'm sure I'll be giving one away, you know, come prior to your first meet. So thanks for joining us this week, and hopefully we can have you back on at some point during the season, Brett.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it, man.
And our first Twitter question of the episode is from Obi-Wan Maroney. Why is Lou going out of his way to hurt us with these PTOs and not letting the kids play? Great question. Now, I don't think he's really going out and forcefully shoving PTOs down our throat for the sake of hurting the club. I don't think any general manager outside of Garth Snow and maybe some other GMs around the league, perhaps, but not Lou Lamoriello. I know that is debatable, and I know there are varying opinions on what he accomplished or failed to accomplish in Toronto and New Jersey, the later part of his tenure there. But as I said earlier in this episode, Yes, Lucas Pisa was signed to a one-year, $1.5 million contract, but it's for depth. And I fully believe that Devon Toews will get his chance to play, and he's going to excel. You just need that extra depth come playoff time, especially deep playoff, you know, experiences. You look at the Capitals and the injuries that they dealt with, and you look at Vegas and the injuries that they dealt with, and, you know, the player that we're talking about right now, Lucas Pisa, was injured last year down the stretch or in the playoffs at certain points for Las Vegas. So, you know, a 7th or 8th defenseman all of a sudden will get thrust into a 4th, 5th, or 6th spot. So, yeah, PTOs just make people work harder and try to earn spots. It's just a fact of life in the NHL. The next question is from Paul Kreischer. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Or Kreischer. After witnessing the moves Lou has made, where's the accountability that was being promoted? Accountability is a funny word, especially when in regards to hockey. There was no accountability around the New York Islanders organization from top to bottom. It was basically good old boys club, right? I mean, we've said that how many times over the last couple of years. It seemed that Garth just hired people from his collegiate days or his former agent or coaches or people he played with or whoever he was his best man at the wedding or he was the best man at their wedding or whatever the heck was going through Garth's mind. Who knows? Accountability starts at the top, and we're pointing at Lou Lamoriello, and clearly your question is pointed at Lou Lamoriello. So he just took over the team. We didn't know we were going to sign Barry Trotz. That's just, it's been out there. Who knew that after winning the Stanley Cup, he was going to come to that contract stalemate or impasse with the Capitals? Nobody knew that, right? So, sure, he goes. We talk him into signing. He claims that he loves Lou's pedigree and all this other stuff. He's a, you know, Hall of Fame coach, won Stanley Cups, blah, 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 blah. Accountability is going to come. It's already starting because you have a coach that's installing his systems and is dealing with players on a day-to-day basis in ways that they probably have never experienced before. For all intents and purposes, Barry Trotz is the first legitimate NHL coach the New York Islanders have had since who? Mike Milbury? That's a long time. You're talking 18, 20 years. That's crazy. You know, and nothing against the coaches that the Islanders have had in that time. You had Steve Sterling. You had Scott Gordon. Peter Laviolette, who has gone on to become a great elite NHL coach in his own right. You know, there were some bumps in the roads there, and we had him early in his career. So, you know, people do evolve into good coaches given time. But obviously, you're never going to be given that time in one spot. You know, Barry Trotz hasn't gotten that in one spot. He's on his third team now. You know, and then you have Ted Nolan, who we spoke about with Joe Yeardon a couple of episodes ago. The crazy stuff behind that story and the rumors that you hear involving him. And then you got Jack Capuano. You know, Jack was a great guy, and he was a good coach. I wouldn't necessarily call him a great coach, you know, and he's doing good things down in Florida. But again, was he an NHL coach? At maybe certain points, other points, it seemed like he just failed to, you know, change his style. He would just continue to do the same things over and over again. But I'm going off on a tangent. Accountability starts with the coach. He deals with the players on a daily basis. He holds them accountable in their actions. He holds them accountable in the way that they carry themselves on and off the ice. The general manager will hold the coach accountable. He will also hold the players accountable. He'll hold the trainers accountable. He'll hold everybody accountable. And Lou Lamoriello is the type of person that he's no holds barred. You've seen this elsewhere, the way that he talks to people, the way that he conducts business. You know, he is here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to win Stanley Cups. So it's going to take time. Yes, some of the signings he made are questionable, and I know that's your question, and I'm giving you an extremely long-winded answer to agree. But Leo Komarov brings a certain style of play. That's why he was signed. Yes, he was signed maybe a year or two too long. Valtteri Filppula, same deal. It's a one-year deal. He plays the game a certain way. Kunackle, same thing. Heart and soul guys, character guys, guys that have worn letters on their sweater, guys that can show the young guys how to play the game and be professionals. And that's not taking anything away again from some of the veterans that are on the Islanders and Johnny Boychuk, Nick Leddy, you know, all these guys will work with everyone and this team will become a team, a professional National Hockey League team. And that is where the accountability will begin. All right, we had one more late question and I told David that I had wrapped up, but I fired up the recording again. This way I can add it towards the end. So I apologize if it sounds any different. But this tweet is from Swilly _ Swanson. David, who is going to be the number one goalie? I had assumed Leonard, but I see depth charts listing Greiss ahead of him. Now, I told you on Twitter, my gut is telling me Leonard all the way, only because he has so much to prove. But then again, so does Thomas Greiss. Greiss backstopped the Islanders when Yaroslav Halak went down, the end of that season where we wound up beating Florida in the first round. He is one of the reasons why the Islanders beat Florida. He stood on his head, if you remember. So Thomas Greiss, I almost want to say, will probably edge out Leonard for more starts to potentially become the number one goalie because he's been there. Then there was a report out in Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts the other day that said that Thomas had rehired his former personal trainer over the summer. So, you know, he had been working out with someone he was comfortable with. And, you know, the guy is a beast physically. If you've ever seen him in person, that he's just a monster. So hopefully he's back to the same physicality that he was a couple of seasons ago. Hopefully he's in a good spot mentally, and he had a good summer, and he didn't injure himself mountain biking like he did last summer. So, but yeah, it's a good position to be in because we have two goalies that have something to prove. One of whom is playing for a contract, and they both need to backstop the Islanders to a bunch of wins. So either way, hopefully we'll be on the receiving end of good goaltending. But to your question, I'm thinking Greiss will potentially edge Leonard out, depending on things go. But with our goalie coaches now and the goalie staff in general, who knows what'll happen? Your guess is as good as mine there. Something else that I've wanted to go into is the goaltending and, you know, the defense overall. And I'm one of the people who stick to the opinion of, you know, I don't think this team is going to be as bad as a lot of people believe. There's just so many things that could happen, you know, in a positive way with Barry Trotz and Lane Lambert, Mitch Korn, Piero Greco. You have all of these guys, and I keep repeating this. You know, there's an unknown there, and yeah, they have to get to know the roster, but you have Thomas Greiss looking to prove himself, and he's looked really good. I mean, he hasn't looked perfect, but nobody has. It's preseason, right? Robin Leonard has looked good as well. He's let in a couple of shots that, you know, were questionable. He was victimized on some deflections last night, and that's going to happen. You know, again, though, he's dealing with, you know, his recently disclosed issues and being sober and all that. So it's going to take a little bit of time, and that's what the preseason's for. So I believe we're going to see them split time this final preseason game tomorrow night, so which will be tonight, you know, by the time you're listening to this. So I like what is happening there, and I know these guys are going to work with them. And then you have the defensive system that is going to be in place, because under Doug Waite, it was all run and gun. There was really nothing happening on the back end besides the defenseman rushing the puck up, dumping the puck in, rimming it around, nobody touching it, it going all the way back into the Islander zone, rinse, repeat, on top of the fact that how many opposition odd man rushes and breakaways were there last year. I mean, it was ridiculous. I've said on Twitter a couple of times, it seems like Barry Trotz is installing a bit of a trap. And I really am hesitant to say the trap word because it's such a boring style of hockey. The Devils were obviously known for that. And part of that is what made Martin Brodeur such a great goalie. Again, another theme, not to take something away from him, because he was a great goalie, but it was partially because of the systems that they played and the personnel that he had in front of him, I guess. So, anyway, hot take aside, the Islanders are going to utilize this to help slow people down through the neutral zone. They're going to force people to try to chip the puck past them, you know, stifle off some of the opposing forecheck and slow, like again, slow everybody down and kind of control things. So it's going to definitely help in that regard. At the same time, when you're utilizing a trap, it also causes turnovers, and then you have the numbers now going back the other direction because you have your three forwards essentially in one area to turn back around, head up the ice, and hopefully you have the numbers going back into the offensive zone. So, again, that's my opinion. The short little times that I've gotten to sit down and watch the game against the Rangers was the only one I really got to sit and watch in its entirety. So I caught bits and pieces of the ones prior. Again, the roster has been all over the place in terms of veterans, you know, PTOs, you have the kids up from junior. It was just a mess all over the place. So the last couple of games, we're definitely getting a glimpse of what we can potentially see. But again, you're also facing teams that are doing the same thing. So it's not really a legit sense of everything. And regardless, I'm super excited about hockey. I hopefully it's coming across that way. I can't get enough of it. And especially now that I'm doing this, it's giving me an outlet that maybe I should have done previous to this. But hey, I'm here now, and I'll hopefully continue to do this as long as you guys support me. So that's going to pretty much wrap it up for episode 8, I believe this is. Episode 8? Already 8. How about that? So if you don't follow me on Twitter, please do. The show's Twitter is Faithful Isles. My personal hot take account is at Isles Blogger. And then we have an Instagram, Isles Faithful. And of course, the Facebook page, The Isles Faithful. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in episode 9, where we have a super special guest, if you've made it this far, in Mark Parrish, the former New York Islander forward who has taught Anders Lee pretty much everything he knows in front of the net. That's right. Mark Parrish is joining us for episode number 9. Stay tuned, and we will talk to you next week.